Because if you take what you seem to have seriously, maybe God will really, maybe that is a sign that God is really giving you something. And you're going to get something more. And so I'm all for taking things seriously and all for taking things with the right amount of gravity. I guess what I'm saying is be careful when using things like this. Be very careful. I want to be careful. Anyways, continuing verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed. Because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. So there's a little parenthetical thing about Herod. When they think that Jesus is someone else, there's a particular assumption about it, that it is the one who was risen from the dead. They always see them as being risen from the dead. They don't think of them as come back from heaven. Because the doctrine from the Old Testament was that the dead sleep, that the dead are in the ground. Now, some of the Jews began to have different traditions based on things they picked up from other religions. But from the teaching of the Old Testament, many people would understand the dead to need to be raised. And that's why they talk about them, that Elias, that one of the prophets had risen again, or that Elias had appeared. And Herod reasoned with himself, who is this of whom I hear such thing? I want to see this guy. As you remember from chapter 8, the wife of Herod's steward was one of the women who followed Jesus and supported his ministry. It's so close to him, yet so far. Obviously, that's a fact that he's not very well appraised of. Verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. So they went out healing, and now they had returned, told him what they did. Preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. And they gave him the details. Continuing in verse 10, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. The disciples looking at the situation. What's needed? People need to eat. They've been here all day. They're going to be hungry. But Jesus, rather than sending them away, go get yourself something to eat now. Look at how dedicated they are to hearing him. They're neglecting themselves. They're forgetting about what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And they're just hearing him. Yeah, and in part, they're having miracles done. That'll always hold a crowd. But they're also hearing him. They're more interested in him than going and getting something to eat. But his disciples start thinking about these things. And Jesus says, you feed them. And he performs this miracle. And we know in another place the explanation of what the baskets mean. Why did they take up so many fragments? Didn't Jesus know exactly how much they needed? So that there would be nothing over? As it was in the wilderness, the manna. In the wilderness, God delivered the manna. And they that gathered much had nothing over, and they that gathered little had no lack. I mean, everyone had as much as they needed. And why was there so much? Did Jesus overproduce? That's one way you could look at it, but Jesus had another explanation for it. That it was because of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Meaning that this overage symbolized something. It symbolized the doctrine. that was already present in the heart. He's preaching the gospel to them. But the gospel becomes out of shape. It becomes filled with, the gospel is going out to them, and the leaven in their heart is causing a change, so that they aren't able to receive it in its purest form, but instead comes back to him uneaten parts, undigested bits. The same it is when I teach. I'm sure there are some people who could listen to me and get something from me. They'll get something. They can't get everything I'm saying to them, but they get some of it. And some of it I accept. Some of it, Paul, I agree with. And some of it I disagree with. That's the leaven of the doctrines you've been filled with. Well, you sure think you know it all. Not that I think it all. It's just I think I've purged out the leaven. And if you aren't able to receive what I'm giving, if parts of it are being rejected, if parts of it are being returned, it's because you have leaven in your heart. You have false doctrine you're holding on to that prevents you from receiving what I'm saying, because everything I'm saying is true. And so it is with Christ. He was giving them pure gospel, and then fragments were coming back. Things that couldn't be received. Things that could not be consumed. This is a hard saying. Who can receive it? Verse 18, and it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say, Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, that there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. Jesus begins to ask, who are people saying that I am? And of course, the people have these misperceptions. He's John the Baptist. You know, even though John the Baptist baptized Jesus, but not everyone knows this. I mean, this is ancient times. It wasn't like this was all, cataloged on video and uploaded to YouTube or something. You know, the facts of his